Well, I have, our family has just returned from a couple of weeks off after Christmas, a bit of a holiday, which was lovely. It's good to get away, switch off the brain for a while, read a couple of murder mystery novels, which takes me to another place. But during our holiday, we walked past a church quite a number of times, and the church looks like this. And it's in Auckland, and we spent a few days in Melbourne, and then we went to Auckland for about 6 days. Someone said to me, "You've been everywhere." I said, "You obviously don't know my husband very well. He can't sit still, not even in holidays." And this is a beautiful church on the corner, very close to where we were staying in Auckland. And while the church, like, really did, I found it beautiful, caught my attention. What really captured me about this church was a sign out the front of it that looked like this. Not sure if you can read that, but it says Resolutions 2026. And I'm not sure. It says, "Be tenaciously hopeful, call out injustice, and love wastefully." Not sure how many of you make resolutions. Anyone here made New Year's resolutions? Anyone want to raise their hand? A few of you? Anyone brave enough to tell me what they are? This is not in my script. Sorry, Richard. Anybody brave enough, just remember this is going to go out into the world. Anyone brave enough to call out what their resolution is? Yes, Anne.
To quit vaping.
To quit vaping. Now you know, we're all going to hold you accountable to that. Did you? Yes. More reading. This is my father-in-law down here, if those of you who don't know. Yes, Phil.
Get my knee done.
Get his knee done. Surgery, I'm assuming? Yes, yeah, very good. I don't make a lot of resolutions, to be honest, but I set goals for the year. Some of them are quite simple and very practical. Sometimes things I've been putting off, like clean out the Harry Potter cupboard under our stairs, which I've already done, and it's only the 11th of January, so maybe I need to set bigger goals. Yes, thank you. The contents were all over the table and all over the floor in our house for a couple of days, but that's okay. But it's all back away now. I've also set myself a goal to read the Bible again. Not that I don't have stopped reading the Bible, that sounded terrible. But to read it again in its entirety in the year, in chronological order. I've done that before, and you'll be pleased to know I'm 10.5 days through. I've only done half of today's reading so far. I haven't finished today's reading, but I am actually enjoying that. So now all of you need to hold me accountable to that. I usually get bogged down somewhere in Leviticus, so we'll keep me accountable to that. But anyway, as I walked past this sign, and I walked past it lots of times, as I said, I thought, how great would it be if everybody strived to be tenaciously hopeful? Everybody strive to call out injustice and to love wastefully. So over the next 3 weeks, we're going to look at these phrases and perhaps consider what they mean for us personally, not as resolutions, but how we live as Christians, as a community of faith, and how we can act according to these statements. So hope, be tenaciously hopeful. Hope is a word that I love. And if you were here on the 17th of August, and I know that you will all remember this in 2025, you would know that I spoke about hope being revealed. I had to look that date up, by the way. I didn't remember that's when I spoke about that. But hope is a word that we use a lot in the Advent season, in the Christmas season. We talked a lot about the expectation, the coming of Christ, the hope that this baby would bring. The hope of something better, or perhaps of what is to come. What do you hope for? It's a big question. A question not just for people who are lovers and followers of Jesus, but of anybody in the community. Now, tenaciously, It's not a word that I use often or hardly ever, but it can mean with a firm hold of something or in a determined or unwavering manner. Is it possible to hold onto hope in a determined and unwavering manner? Do you have a firm hold on hope? Well, we just heard Margaret read to us from 1 Peter chapter 1, often known as a pastoral letter, but is also referred to as a letter of hope. And we heard in that this word, hope. And Peter, the writer of the letter, knew this hope well. When Jesus died on the cross, it seemed that all hope was lost. Peter had denied Jesus before the crucifixion, and he seemed to only know bitter sorrow. Even the beginning of the next day, what we call Easter Saturday, and before we know it, Easter will be here, but Jesus was still dead. But then we sang the words on Easter morning. Peter learned from the women about the empty tomb. The message from the angels came. He went running to the tomb and he saw with his own eyes evidence for himself that Jesus was not there. He left in wonder, it says, but Jesus remembered Peter and he appeared to Peter. He appeared to him even before he came to eat with the disciples in the upper room. And hope was reborn for Peter in the sight of his living Lord. And now Peter writes, and he commences by saying, praise be to God, to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. In his great mercy, he has given us new birth into a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. In his great mercy, he has given us new birth into a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ. Again, that's just what we sang. Jesus Christ, my living hope. Do you have a firm hold on this hope as we enter into 2026? Just a couple of days ago, I read a social media post from a writer, a speaker, Mike Frost, author of a book, funnily enough, called Surprised by Hope. And he said, upon reflecting what's happening in the world at the moment, watching all this violence wounds us. It warps us in some way. And there's only so much wounding we can take. We need healing and hope. Frost goes on and says, I'm reminded of Rachel Held Evans' words at this time. To put one's hope in Jesus then is to believe, despite all the evidence to the contrary, Jesus' way of peace, justice, mercy and compassion will ultimately prevail over the empire's ways of violence, exploitation, oppression and fear. Lord, I believe. Help my unbelief. Peter, this rock on whom God built his church, writes of a sure hope, a hope that holds the future in the present because it is anchored in the past. Peter hopes for God's salvation, God's deliverance from sin and death, and his hope is sure because God has already accomplished Peter's salvation in the resurrection of Jesus. Praise be to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. Our hope is anchored in the past. Jesus rose. Our hope remains in the present. Jesus is here with us. He is alive and well. And our hope is completed in the future because Jesus is coming again. Praise be to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. But not only do we have salvation through the living hope that is Jesus, we also receive an inheritance from him. That inheritance is kept for us. Peter's not simply talking about treasure, but of something far greater than that. An inheritance, he says, that can never perish, spoil, or fade. This inheritance is kept in heaven for you. Our hope is sure, because nothing can happen to this inheritance. We can be tenaciously hopeful, not just in 2026, but for eternity, because we have the assurance of our inheritance. Nothing on earth can alter or destroy it, and it is kept safe for us. It cannot be lost. We can be tenaciously hopeful. In God's great mercy and his love for each one of us, he has given us Jesus, our living hope, the one who provides our salvation and our eternal inheritance that is being kept for us, for you and for me, until our time on this earth comes to an end. The promise of us being with the Lord forever. Now, sometimes I can be a bit too honest, but I was tempted to stop there today, and some of you might rejoice about that. Because how lovely that we have this scripture that talks about this hope that we have in our risen and our living Lord. A positive, uplifting word which stays with us. But in the very next verse, verse 6, the tone of the scripture changes, and we're perhaps reminded of what life can really be like. In all this, you greatly rejoice, which is true. We rejoice. We have the risen Lord, the living hope. Though now, for a little while you may have had to suffer grief in all kinds of trials. We have two ends of the spectrum. In one sentence, we kind of move from this joy, this ecstasy of having Jesus Christ, our living hope, to perhaps the agony of real life. We who rejoice in Christ, who rejoice because he is our risen Lord, also suffer grief. We suffer all kinds of trials. But Peter wants to assure us, assure Christians, assure the world, that our hope can remain even as we face such difficulties. In the whole scheme of eternity, though yes, we have troubles, it's only for a small time. But I know from experience that when we are going through these type of things, that it doesn't feel that way. Life can be hard. It can be brutal even at times. Peter's words of encouragement say, "These have come so that the proven genuineness of your faith, of greater worth than gold, which perishes even though refined by fire, may result in praise, glory, and honour when Jesus is revealed." This certainly doesn't make it any easier. Sometimes just by reading a verse of scripture, it doesn't take away what we're going through. But it can be an encouragement that even though we suffer trials, We're being encouraged to stick with our faith, to continue with it until the end. And perhaps if our faith is to last the test of time, it must almost be stress tested, if you like. Peter uses this analogy of gold. Even gold that is of great worth, that needs to be refined by fire at times, with a beautiful result. Fire does not destroy the gold in the same way that our trials should not destroy our faith. But in the end, gold can still wear away. If you've been married for a long time and you wear a wedding ring, in fact, I wear my grandmother's wedding ring, and I can tell you that the gold has perished. It has worn away on one side. But our faith needs to remain strong, to not wear away. We can still hold tenaciously to our hope. If I was to ask you another question this morning and ask you to raise your hand if you would like to go through some pain or grief or challenges in 2026, challenges that perhaps would test your faith, I can't imagine that too many of you would actually put your hand up, and I'm not going to ask you to do that today. Because who in their right mind would actually want to do that? However, when we go through such things and we come out the other side with our faith still intact and our hope still in the living Son of God, then often we can say praise, glory and honour to Jesus Christ, who is revealed in an even greater way. The last part I want to touch on this morning is this reflection, Peter's reflection on the love that his readers have for Christ. And we, the Salvation Army Parramatta, are some of the readers of these words. And he says, though you have not seen him, that's Jesus, you love him. And even though you do not see him now, you believe in him and are filled with an inexpressible and glorious joy. Of course, Peter had seen Jesus. He had done life with Jesus. He'd walked beside Jesus in a physical sense. There are many stories recorded in Scripture where Peter and Jesus are together. Jesus was served supper by Peter's mother-in-law when she had been healed from a fever. Or many of us will know the story when Peter walks out onto the water and starts to sink, and Jesus takes his hand and lifts him up again. Or as I've mentioned, Jesus on the cross, when Jesus prepared breakfast on the shore of the Sea of Galilee after his resurrection, Peter had seen Jesus and Peter loved him. I've often wondered if Peter was surprised that the people to whom he was writing, although they had never seen Jesus the way Peter had, they still loved him and believed in him. But when I think about this more, I think probably not. For Peter knew that it was not only his physical association with Jesus that joined him to his Saviour. He knew that Jesus is the Son of God. He knew that God had given Jesus to us as a great gift, as a sacrifice for each one of us. And it is by faith that those who were reading the scriptures back then, the letter back then, and us now as we read this letter, we who have not seen Jesus in the same way, that we still love him, we still believe in him, The one who is the great I am, the Son of God. Jesus is not a mere memory, not someone who we've just celebrated in December and now we get on with our life until we perhaps hit Easter. He is one who walks beside us every day, one whom one day we will meet face to face. And we do this full circle because perhaps we're back to the future, good name for a movie, of our hope, our sure hope that is in the living Christ, that one day we will spend eternity with him. At the very beginning of this passage, as I've said several times, if you haven't picked it up, all our praise and glory should go to God because of the resurrection and the gift of his Son, Jesus. And because of that, we have a hope that is tenacious, a hope that will give us our inheritance, a hope that reminds us that we will meet Jesus face to face, safe and secure when the time comes. We have a salvation in Christ, and we have a faith that is precious, worth more than gold, that will outlast gold. Perhaps this year our faith does need to be refined. Perhaps it will be tested or strengthened, but my prayer is that it will not be broken and destroyed. And when we come through, and perhaps this time next year, we will be able to say again, praise and glory to Jesus who has brought us through. Because even though we have not seen Jesus face to face as yet, we still love him and believe in who he is. We can stand firm in our faith and in our hope, and we are able to thank Jesus and be tenaciously hopeful. To this I hold, my hope is only Jesus, for my life is wholly bound to his. To this I hold, my shepherd will defend me. Through the deepest valley he will lead. To this I hold, my sin has been defeated. Jesus now and ever is my plea. To this I hold, my hope is only Jesus. All the glory evermore to him. When the race is complete, still my lips shall repeat, yet not I, but through Christ I can be tenaciously hopeful.